Sports Fan Run Radio. We'll be back on the other side. According to Brent Hubbs of VolQuest, he says that many in the league felt last week that we were just going to do the next 2 years of your schedule, your non-divisional opponents. That for Tennessee would have been Ole Miss and at LSU. Many people felt like that was going to be the move. However, the SEC is reportedly moving forward with a different solution where they're going to try to keep it more, quote, fair and balanced after schools like Florida and Alabama expressed concern about the difficulty of their schedule when just adding 2021 and 2022. When you look at what the Big Ten did that as well, right? The Big Ten tried to do the fair and balanced. Mm-hmm. Instead of Ohio State getting Wisconsin like they should have if they just went and fast-forwarded 2 years, they end up getting Purdue instead. So, like, when we're talking about them propping up Ohio State, like, Ohio State could have actually faced some adversity here.
Yep.
If you add Wisconsin on that schedule, then all of a sudden you're like, okay, you play Michigan, Penn State, and Wisconsin. Okay, like that might be a chance to stumble.
See what they're really made of this time.
Yeah, three games, especially if they're slated in a certain order. But instead, they're like, nope, we're not going to give you Wisconsin, Ohio State. We're going to give you Purdue, which obviously a lot easier.
Absolutely.
The source said that, quote, I promise you some teams aren't going to be happy about this. And Tennessee could be put on that list if you consider that it does seem as if momentum is growing, that it'll be Texas A&M and LSU.
Yeah, if they're catering the floor, then Alabama, then yeah, we're going to be one of those teams that's not going to be happy with the results, I feel like.
We talked about the coaches poll being out, Cam, the new coaches poll. So, no surprise at the top, right? No surprise at the top. You have Clemson and Ohio State in that order. Alabama and Georgia rounding out the top four. Then you throw in LSU at five, I believe it was.
So we can get three of the top five teams off the rip.
So already you can tell like Tennessee will be playing Alabama, Georgia, and then you add LSU. Tennessee now plays three of the top five teams in the country. And then in Texas A&M, I believe, came in. Where'd you say, 12th?
13th. They're at 13th.
13th. So then you look around, you're like, wow, so now Tennessee having to, and I imagine Florida also in the top 13 as well.
Florida's
right?
At number 8. Yeah. So,
so you would get four top 10 teams, five top 13 teams, and even like putting Auburn in there instead of A&M.
Yeah, Auburn's at 11, so
it's still going to make it tough, right? Yeah, see, so you are, go ahead and prepare to be upset if you're a Tennessee fan, is what it seems like, because, three of the four schools you're linked to, adding, is LSU, A&M, and Auburn, all three of those top 13 teams. Ole Miss would be nice. Ole Miss, not a top 25 team.
Nope.
But doesn't seem like Tennessee is going to get that. And I haven't seen any talks about us getting Mississippi State either.
Yeah, that seems like our luck. Seems like kind of our luck. We just, like you said, all these top 13 teams. We didn't make it into the coaches' poll. We were like the next team out.
Yeah, Tennessee came in, I guess, tied for 26th.
Yeah.
With whom? Who are they tied with? Was it
Boise State?
Boise State.
But that would be a big change of luck to go from possibly playing Ole Miss to an A&M or Auburn. If they're catering to Florida and Alabama, then they'll probably get somebody like that that's kind of just simple and.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care what they give Alabama. Obviously, we're not chasing Alabama for a division title. Yeah. We're not chasing Alabama for a playoff spot. I mean, despite what Joe Klatt said, which, by the way, that was a little weird of him to come out and say he wouldn't be surprised if Tennessee won 9 or 10 games next year. Like, bro, you realize that we only play 10 games next year, right? Like, are you saying you think we can go undefeated? Because, I mean, that'd be cool. I'd like to go undefeated. That seems like a surprise. That seems pretty aggressive to me.
that may be a little bit of a stretch, is what I'd call that.
I'm with it if you want to say it, but again, feels a little aggressive, feels like a stretch.
he's maybe trying to just get that takeoff. If some, if it actually happens, be like, hey, see, I told you so.
Hey, Tennessee fans, you can't remember when I said that you should never get anything again because of how you handled the coaching search and how I root for you to fail and all this stuff? Well, you can't rub this in my face because I don't know if you guys see this right here, but I said you guys could win 9 games, so I predicted it.
All good.
Yeah. You guys only went 8-2. Why are you talking trash to me? I said you should go 10-0, or that I wouldn't be surprised by it.
Yeah, we'll be interesting, especially like we said, if we get those two teams, that would be something.
What is the SEC waiting on?
I don't know, because every conference just seems to be beating them to the punch. They want to be the last team to follow up our conference.
Do you think there's, like, lobbying going on? Like, if you're getting the report that teams are going to be upset, like, do you think ADs are, like, threatening to – I mean, you can't really revolt, but, I mean, like, you can cause a fuss and you don't have to show a unified front and you can go out and say hateful things and, like, you know, bank headlines and you know, be willing to go and put a target on your back. Because I imagine that you'll have – you know, if schools are upset, I would imagine you have some people saying, of course, you're going to protect the Golden Goose of Alabama.
Yeah, and I think if they're catering to Alabama and Florida – then if it's not us, it would probably be a team like Georgia or LSU that's also kind of getting screwed over. So I think they would definitely be trying to complain. So, yeah, there's probably just a power struggle going on in the background. Because, like, if the Big Ten's doing teleconference calls, I'm sure the SEC has had some going on. And
yeah, you would think they're all getting together and talking. You would think. I wonder how hateful those have gotten. Which, by the way, we should be able to, like, watch these. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
We're in a content biz, guys. Like, we're in a situation where we haven't had content for a while. And the SEC, look, we don't know how often, how many games we're going to get this year. You might have to, make up some money somewhere. So why not put these on your SEC network? Because Lord knows I haven't turned on the SEC network since basketball ended.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, not at
have
all.
Have you?
No.
Have you turned on the SEC network, Hayden? Are those same, like, 8 rewatchable games they put on every year, every day, every week? Are they drawing you in? Hey, you can always show us the Tennessee-Auburn SEC championship from 97 so many times before I say I don't want to watch it anymore.
Yeah, I don't even think I watched the Tennessee takeover this year.
They even do that?
I thought they did. Like,
I mean, they might have. I was just asking. I didn't know.
It's usually in July, but I thought they bumped it up this year.
Okay.
It was like in June, maybe.
Okay.
But I don't think I even watched it.
Like, why not put this on TV? I want to hear these discussions. I want to hear Jeremy Pruitt tell Greg Sankey that his idea is dumb as hell. Mine's dumber than hell. Oh, come on. I know, I've been in down there at Alabama. I know how you guys do. Saban runs around talking about how he has you guys in his pocket. I've seen it firsthand on the other side. You know, we got somebody that's been on that side. We got somebody who's seen it firsthand.
He knows what they do. Yeah, he knows what they kind of try and get away with. So I'm sure he's going to have his complaints if they come out with just a very Bama favoring schedule. But
I've been upset at the lack of content coming out of the NBA bubble, too. Like, I thought we'd have so many more stories by now.
Yeah, I thought we'd have more snitch hotline stuff, too.
More snitch hotlines are just some more drama, some more beef of, like, so-and-so player doesn't like so-and-so, and they ran into each other, and there were words exchanged. Like, where's that reporting at? I've been waiting on that. So far, we've only got Lemon Pepper Wings from a strip club and Rashawn Holmes running around, getting outside of the parameters for wings, and, like, Ben Simmons catching a fish.
Yeah.
And I guess Taco Fall rode his bike around for a little bit, which was funny because he's really tall.
And not a ton of content. I saw something about them having an unofficial wine club. That's about all I really saw. Yeah.
I doubt the SEC has an unofficial wine club. I wouldn't think that's happening here. But I still want to hear these discussions because I think you mean to tell me that the audio of Ryan Day telling Jim Harbaugh to mind his damn business and like let him coach his team wouldn't have gotten Big Ten people fired up?
Oh yeah, that'd been hilarious. We would have loved that.
We led the show with it. We're not even a Big Ten show. That's how fired up it got me.
Makes it feel like football's back, for sure.
Pruitt telling someone he's dumb as hell would have got me going. That ain't right. That ain't right what you guys are doing to us. That ain't right. Florida, you already give them the easiest schedule, and when you're going to make it even, then you switch it. That ain't right. Kirby's probably upset about it, too, like you said. Like, Georgia and LSU probably sitting there. Because, I mean, like, Tennessee, let's face it. I don't consider us a real threat to win the East. Like, can we do it? Sure.
Yeah.
But, like, is that our goal this year? I mean, maybe it's your goal as a fan, but I don't think we have as much at stake as Georgia and Florida. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, and also I don't think we have as big a voice as we used to.
Well, yeah, I mean, when you don't win, you don't have a voice. That's for sure. But I don't feel like we're under that same amount of pressure, right? Like, Florida and Georgia are both sitting there thinking, like, East or bust, pretty much. Like, mm-hmm. Georgia, with the run they've been on, the recruiting classes, the talent, like, all that stuff, obviously that checks out. Florida, you look at, and you're like, okay, Dan Mullen has won a bunch of games, and also we have an easy schedule. So, like, we should be able to have a chance to win the East. Tennessee, we're just trying to take another step forward. I'm not ruling out the East. I don't want to sound like I'm ruling out the East, but I'm just saying, like, we're not East or bust already. Is that fair to say?
No, I agree. Yeah, absolutely. They're definitely, like you said, the two teams that's what they have to be going for.
Like, if I told you right now Tennessee could finish second in the East, would you lock that in?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hayden, you locking that in second in the East right now?
Yeah, with the 10-game SEC schedule, for sure.
I mean, I think any year, really. I mean, like, you know, outside of, you know, 2016, like, you wouldn't have done that. But any other year since then, you just said second in the East, boom, let's lock it in.
Yeah, I mean, that means we either finish out of Georgia or Florida. Right. So I'm taking that. It means we beat one of them most likely. So, yeah, I think I'd take that for sure.
It means you won at least five SEC games and probably beat one of them head-to-head. Like, if you're finished second. Usually that's what that means, at least. Usually it's six wins. But, you know, there are scenarios where, you know, you can be tied at 5-3 sometimes. Just to prove that point, like, I guarantee if you ask Georgia, like, hey, you want to lock in second in the SEC? East? They'd be like, no. Florida? They'd say no. Right? Like, we think Florida's rolling the dice, too, on their schedule and trying to win it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure.
That's all I'm saying when we look at expectations. Again, doesn't mean we can't, but the SEC dragging their feet in terms of getting this out there. The Big Ten got out 2 days ago. The ACC got out. Or I guess the Big Ten got out yesterday. The SEC got out today. So maybe the SEC will wait till Friday. You don't want to compete for headlines, although, like, you know, when the SEC drops, college football pays attention, right? Especially compared to the ACC. Yeah. So maybe we'll get it anytime, but I would imagine it's going to happen tomorrow. All right, that's the story of the day. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Early on at the PGA Championship, we got three guys tied at the top at 2-under. Scottie Scheffler, Bud Cauley, and Dustin Johnson. And then you got a whole handful of people, including Tiger Woods. And I believe Brooks Koepka about to go to 1-under as well. It's early, obviously. But they are underway. I think the furthest anyone's along on the course is through 9. So just halfway through for a handful of guys. And then Tiger and them teed off at 11:30. So they're just on the first couple holes. Level of interest in that, Cam, the PGA Championship?
I'm a little bit more in now because one of my friends bet on somebody, and he said if he wins, he's buying me and my other friend of a box seats to a Falcons game.
Oh,
so,
wow. Who's he got?
He's got Jordan Spieth.
Oh,
which,
man.
Yeah, I was like, but hey, I'm all in now. Yeah.
Buddy, no, just I don't want to tell you, but I think Jordan Spieth started 2-over in his first three holes.
Perfect.
So I don't think what is it with Jordan Spieth? Why is everyone like Jordan Spieth?
I don't know. He had good odds though, so I think
he's 50-1
for
a reason. He's 50-1 for a reason, but people bet on him because they remember him winning.
They know the name.
They remember him winning a couple of times, but I mean, Jordan Spieth, I don't feel like has won on the tour in a while in a tournament that matters, right? I mean, when's the last time he won?
Oof. It feels like a long time ago, but I can look it up.
I feel like he's lost his way. I hate Jordan Spieth. Everyone likes Jordan Spieth. I'm sorry for your friend. I hope that's not him texting saying, why is he making fun of Jordan Spieth? Why is he doing this to me? I hope that's not happening.
Nah, that wasn't him. That wasn't him.
His last major was 2015.
Yeah, I just mean, like, when was his last win in general?
It says 2017 Open Championship.
So he won the Open Championship in 2017, so would that be his last major?
Yeah, I think so.
What do you mean? We think so? We got two different guys.
Well, it looks
googling the internet. We can't.
Says
get the right
when was
here.
Jordan Spieth's last victory? 2017 Open Championship, July 23rd.
Okay, so the Open Championship is the British Open,
yes.
Right? I mean, that's. Okay,
so that's definitely a major.
Yeah, Draven can't read the internet.
I guess not.
That's all right.
I guess not.
It's all right. We'll teach you. We'll help you grow with your googling skills. Maybe you can equal Hayden's googling skills. So that's his last win in general.
Yeah, speak. Just his last victory. So yeah, okay. That's, over 3 years ago.
No box seats for me.
About 3 weeks.
Yeah, I wouldn't get my hopes up on the box seats. I wouldn't get my hopes up on them, but maybe. I would say I'm rooting for you, but I'm not because I don't like Jordan Spieth, and I did not bet on Jordan Spieth, so I do not want Jordan
Spieth
to win.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah, plus two. Oof.
Bad start. You know, everyone was getting started. That 10th hole that, you know, half the people are starting on, playing really easy. Like, everyone came out and birdied. Everyone came out and birdied 10, playing really easy. And I don't know if Spieth started on the front nine or back nine, but starting out two over, pretty rough. Pretty rough.
Yep.
All right, you had some more college football notes. We have some attendance figures, at least somewhat around the country. I saw where Penn State basically said we're not having any fans in the stands as it sits right now. It says that could change the later the season goes, but they are prepping for the first weeks. No fans at all in compliance with, I guess, the state of Pennsylvania and what they want to have accomplished. You said Florida State made a similar, or
yeah,
Florida State made their announcement known?
They said they're going to limit home games to 20 to 25% of capacity, and I think they hold about 79,000. So, yeah, if they have fans, they announce that's kind of what they're doing there. So, teams are kind of starting to come out with
So, Florida State said
plans.
What?
20 to 25% of their capacity if they have fans.
Okay.
I'm not sure. They haven't announced like how they would allocate those or anything yet. But
sure. I mean, I think that's the percentage that we assumed, right?
Yeah, that's what most places seem
like
to
at
be
most these towards. Days. Like, I mean, 25% of fans. Are you locking that in? Like, I mean, we've gone all over the place in terms of what we're looking for out of this college football season. At one point, it was we just want to have one. Then another point, it was we want 100% of fans. Now I'm asking, if I give you 20% of fans, are you locking that in? Or do you even care about the fans at this point? Because I don't think I care at all about the fans at this point. I haven't minded the attendance-less sports.
Yeah.
Now, yeah. I will say college football is probably the sport that matters the most when it comes to fans in America, right? Football in general. I mean, you can say the NFL, you know, certain good home atmosphere is there. But college football definitely, like, the atmosphere is the biggest separator from it, right? Like, that's what college football has going for it compared to other sports.
Yeah, absolutely. That's part of the... Just the whole brand of college football. I'm kind of with you. I'm not really, like, super concerned with the fan bases right now. I'm kind of more just, can we get football in general at first? Then we can worry about it once we realize we're actually going to play football.
Where are you at on this, Hayden, with the fans? You are going to be on campus as a college student. This is going to be one of your, you know, you have a limited number of games as a college student to be able to go and have fan tickets and stuff like that. Like, how worried are you that students won't be allowed at games this year?
I mean, I'm pretty worried. I don't think that we're going to be able to go. I think they're going to give the priority to the season ticket holders, and I also don't think we're going to get refunded for losing that money. So
they call that the big orange screw.
Yeah. Even the Alabama said they were going to do it, and Tennessee has not said anything. They didn't even drop tuition for this semester.
Well, so. Does Alabama charge a different fee? Does Alabama charge like a ticket fee up front? Like, not a ticket fee, but like a season ticket opt-in type of thing?
Like an activity fee separate from tuition,
that,
maybe?
To me, that's what it seems like when I was reading about it, is that you have to like kind of opt-in, then you pay like $100 or something up front for the games. Like, instead of doing it game by game, like, you just buy season tickets.
That's how Georgia does it. Okay. I had a bunch of friends that went to UGA, and so like you had to basically, like almost apply because there was only a certain amount of tickets. So you had to, try and opt in for that, and then you had to pay a fee up front before the season, and you got all the home game tickets. I'm assuming that's kind of how Bama is.
Okay.
Which
that's not what Tennessee does, right? Tennessee
it's like
adds in some fees, and then you get a $10 option when it comes time to buy tickets.
You gotta hope you get it.
You get these random fees like library fee.
Is the library gonna be open this year? I mean, I guess the library has to be open. Or?
They say it's gonna be open, but I mean, I live pretty far from the library, so
I don't know how you keep that sanitized
really
either.
But.
Yeah, so they take out like every other computer and like hide them somewhere. Like, what is going to happen? They're just going to unplug it, or
they're probably just going to take a lot of the furniture out and just try to like space stuff out and put glass around everyone, I guess.
Jeez,
a lot of fees adding up for stuff that they won't, that, you know, students won't really be able to use.
Yeah, which is insane, but big orange screw. It's a classic.
I mean, I would imagine this is everywhere. Like, you know, obviously we have students here at Tennessee, but I would imagine everywhere is trying to figure out what the hell to do. Everywhere is trying to figure out the best way to navigate this, and it seems like no one has an idea of how to do it. No one. How late do you think Tennessee is going to go before they make their decision? Like, do you think that will be – is that going to be an SEC decision? Is that going to be a school gets to make their own call? The states get to make the call? Because, you know, in the Big Ten, you know, with Penn State, we saw them basically say we are going to follow Pennsylvania's protocol. Does that mean we can expect Tennessee to do the same thing and the SEC to do the same thing?
I think it's going to come down to the school. So I don't think it's going to be like a conference-wide anything. I think it would be more kind of towards like Penn State's doing where it's a state thing. So
is Texas still going to have like try to have 50%? Because, I mean, that could be a big advantage if Texas A&M has 50% of fans and other places are doing 0 or 20%, right?
You're getting 50,000 in there.
Right, I mean, yeah, like, you know, 50% of what they can get in, you know, sometimes even 55,000, I think.
Yeah.
You get closer to 108, 109, if I'm not mistaken, but...
Yeah,
that might be a little extreme, but I thought they could pack out more than that. But either way,
it's more than Neyland, I think.
Yeah, I don't know if it was as much as I said it was more, instead of just maybe like a couple.
I think
hundred.
That's like Michigan's, but like 110 somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, that could be a huge advantage if, say, like you're going on the road 1 week and there's zero fans there, and then the next week you have 50,000. Because yeah, they'll be spread out, but you can still generate some noise. And then how do you limit the decibels? Like, are you going to have to limit the decibels of crowd noise you can pump in? Because, I mean, are we going to be allowed to do artificial noise? Because Cam's Falcons got in trouble for that.
Yep.
Cam's Falcons got in trouble for pumping in too much crowd noise, making that home atmosphere seem a little louder. Like, if you do go with the piped-in crowd noise, is it just for the broadcast? Can you do it? Like, is it just for the broadcast?
That's what it seemed like for, like, NBA and
okay,
stuff.
Okay, so they're not doing that
I don't
in
think
the
it's
arena.
In the
okay.
arena,
it's
but...
in the stadium for the MLB.
It is in the stadium for the MLB?
Yep. Interesting.
Because when... just from the games I've watched, like the when the Nationals played the Blue Jays, the Blue Jays are playing in Buffalo now, but it was the first week of the season, so they hadn't got like it set up in Buffalo yet.
Sure.
So two of the games they played at Nationals Park, the Blue Jays were actually the home team.
Right.
So they played like the home team, what they would actually play in Toronto for
right.
them, and the Nationals were like the away team sounds like.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
But it was actually in the arena.
Yeah, it was actually
or the stadium.
Yeah.
Interesting, huh? So yeah, they have to put a limit.
Are they going to maximize that? Like, is Mississippi State just going to be able to make nothing but cowbell ringing noises, like you know, at 100 decibels, just nonstop?
That would be awful.
I mean, give you a headache. Is Tennessee going to be able to fire up Rocky Top? Like, I mean, is anybody going to have a band? Like, what is happening here? Why don't we know yet? We're going to have a band. Are we going to have turned down for what? Are we still going to, you know, go to the jungle when it's time to go to the jungle?
I will not miss that this year.
You're not going to miss the jungle?
No. I was ready for that to change. I said we get back to third down for what?
You know Jerry Pruitt has to like Guns N' Roses, though, right? You know he has
oh, yeah.
To
he
like,
that's probably why it's still there.
Yeah. Like, I like this. Play some more of that. So we're waiting to find out, but Penn State, Florida State's made their selection. We'll see how far it gets before Tennessee makes any calls. Hayden, season ticket holder, you know anybody season ticket holder? Like, you have any insight there?
Yeah, my parents are.
Yeah, have they heard anything at all about it? Because, I mean, the last number I saw was that we were over 50,000 in terms of season tickets sold.
Yeah, this is going to be their second year with season tickets. Like, they just got it since I've been a student here.
So are they going to be high priority or low priority, I think? Like, I wonder, because I feel like the ones who are grandfathered in that aren't making donations every year, they might be considered low priority despite having the tickets for 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
I feel like the people who are cutting a check every year will probably get priority because, you know, we care about money.
Hmm.
So have your parents been told anything about what to expect?
Well, they paid the donation like early on, obviously. And they don't think they're going to get that back, but they haven't paid for the tickets yet. I don't think anybody has.
So like they already paid the donation, and yeah, I mean, like, are they going to get the like a portion of the donation back, or is that just considered like, hey, you're cutting a check to the school? Sorry, like
the donation,
write off your taxes.
I don't think they're going to get back.
That's sickening. That's tough. Still a lot to unpack and figure out as we are, you know, getting closer and closer to the season. All right, stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Hey. Where do you want to go next? You want to go? We got another chapter in our Marlins movie, or we got some NBA coverage? Where would you rather go, Cameron?
Let's go with the Marlins. You want to go with the Marlins?
We can go with the Marlins. We have two new chapters in our Marlins movie. Look, I told you guys, Team of Destiny, Hayden, you're like, they're not going to win. Not only did they win one game yesterday, they won two games.
They've given up one run in the past three games.
Look at the pitching staff. They've got it working. They've got it figured out. They win these seven-inning games. Might be perfect for them. Just get in, get out. A 1-0 win. I told you Cobb had nothing for him, although Cobb did pitch pretty good. If I'm Cobb, I'm like, come on, guys. Can I get at least one run of support? Do I have to take an L for giving up one run? Meanwhile, Hernandez come through. The bullpen came through.
Yep.
The lineup came through, and now they are 5-1 at the top.
They're getting bold, too. You see them tweet, we want Bama.
They're feeling it. The social media people have to be loving it. Like, you know, this is, would this be good or bad for baseball? Like, do you think Major League Baseball would be happy if Derek Jeter's team of misfits that didn't adhere to any of the social distancing protocol and put the season in jeopardy in the second week of the year, if they went on and just became really, really good? Actually, it was the first weekend of the year. Yeah, they played three games. The first weekend of the year, put the season in jeopardy, and then find a way to make the playoffs in a season where, you know, no one expected them to be worth a damn. Because I feel like if the Marlins are good, that's just going to put a huge asterisk on this whole season. Like, if they get hot for 50 games and find a way into the top eight, like, I feel like that just puts a whole asterisk on this whole thing.
The COVID made them more powerful.
Maybe that's the key. Maybe get the COVID. If you're listening, Jeremy Pruitt, just something to consider. It's obviously working for the Miami Marlins, right? That's the only team we know that had the Rona run through their locker room completely. 18 cases, and they're undefeated with it.
Yeah, like, the Phillies have nothing going on right now.
I mean, they won a game on Sunday. on that Sunday with the Rona. They already knew that everyone was sick. And they still play, and they still won. Maybe we're attacking this virus all wrong. Maybe those of us who aren't considered, high danger, maybe we should get it. Maybe it's a PED of sorts.
Our power, yeah. Man, yeah, like, they had been the underdog in the past three games, and now Vegas is like,
What do we do with the Marlins?
They're the favorites now for the game tonight. They're still playing the Orioles. The Orioles probably got to be tired of him by now.
The Orioles were like, hey, we are having not a bad start to the season. Then they get to Miami, and they're like, hey, we're very terrified of getting the Rona, but also, like, the Marlins are beating our ass. Does Miami have the best home field advantage right now in baseball? Like, you have the nightclubs, and, like, usually you have South Beach that's distracting people, but I can't imagine that these teams are feeling good about going into Miami right now, right? You'd feel like you're getting sick.
Not at all, yeah.
Well, they haven't played a game at home yet, so.
Oh, they're not playing at home?
No, they're playing in Baltimore.
Man, came into their house and.
Oh, no, wait. They're playing tonight, though, in Miami.
In Miami, okay.
So they're back. But they're allowing them to play at home, right? Like, you're just saying they hadn't been at home.
Yeah, they played the last couple games. They played the Phillies away.
But now they're headed to Miami.
Okay.
I didn't know if, like, baseball was banning them from being able to go down there right now just because, like, hey, you've lost your privilege of home games. I feel like that would have been a fair compromise, right? Like, hey, you got everybody sick. You didn't care about this. No home games for you. We're not sending anybody down to Miami. Should they even be sending people to Florida? That's a whole different question.
Yeah. Jeez.
Should people be going to a hot spot anyways? Like, who knows? That's something to consider, but Miami, I feel like they got the best home field advantage in sports right now. Come down to South Beach, you might get sick.
Yep.
You might find some women that make you sick. You might get sick from a woman. All of it. And then you got to dodge the cocaine.
Yeah, you have a long night, may not make it back to the hotel in time for the bus to the stadium.
The whole thing. Best home field in sports. The Marlins. Shout out to them.
Dream team.
5-1. 83% of their games, Hayden. 83% of their games. You scared yet as a Nationals fan?
He's terrified.
No, not yet, but
we'll Braves see. Found a way to. Braves came out with a ragtag lineup yesterday for the game against the Blue Jays. They pretty much had everyone out. Albies out. Freddie Freeman's like, I'm cool. I'll sit too. And the Braves lineup kind of got shut down as they lose to the Blue Jays.
I think they just reinstated somebody.
Was it Markakis?
No, he got reinstated yesterday, but I think it was okay. Will Stevens. Is that the guy?
I don't know who the hell Will Stevens is.
I think that was it. Let me see if I can double check the name. But yeah, they were reinstating somebody off that was, I guess, had COVID or something. They were bringing back.
I don't think the Braves have had an off day yet.
Have they not?
I don't think so.
They have played 13 games, which is the most. I feel like that's the most in the league that I've seen. Everyone else maxed out at 12. The Braves have played 13. So the Yankees. The Yankees have a rainout one day.
They had a rainout against the.
I know that like opening night they had one against the Nationals, but that game counted as a.
They had one against the Orioles, I think.
Okay, so they've only played 11 games.
But they also had the Phillies games postponed from when the Phillies played the Marlins. That series got postponed.
Cubs have played 12. Yeah, the Braves are leading right now with 13 games. Sheesh. So you're probably right because the season
I don't think they have.
The season started for them, what, last Friday? 13 days ago?
Yeah.
They played every single day?
Yep.
Yeah. It was Will Smith is the guy they are activating off.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, so they're getting the pitcher back.
Okay.
Which will
good
help
good timing
them.
For them. Braves not off tonight either, by the way. Yeah. They're going to play again. It's tough to not have an off day in these, especially when you're dealing with injuries, right? I mean, that seems like
they
seems
probably got
tough.
One coming up. I'm sure.
They don't have one, Hayden, until Thursday the 13th.
Jeez.
So next Thursday, yeah, they got they play the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5
a week or so,
6, 7 days a week.
Wow, that's 20 games in a row.
I mean, that's how all these teams are going to be. So, it's going to be tough on everyone and be fatigued. And it's wild because, Freeman set out yesterday because it's just like, hey, he's played 12 games in a row. He had the Rona before the season, and, maybe he's tired. But it's the equivalent of sitting out 3 games when you look at it, or 2.5 games. And then you look and, you're going to get 20 games in before you have an off day.
Yep.
That's position players. We're not even talking about, your pitching staff and your bullpen. And if you're a team that, has pitching injuries to it, you're extra exerted already. It's just going to be it's going to be a grind of a season. I think whenever you see the season actually get started, it makes a lot more sense to me why they were like, let's just expand the playoffs to 8 teams.
Yeah.
I think it's the fair thing to do. Mm-hmm. At first I thought it was kind of a gimmick, and I was like, well, they're just trying to generate some more TV money. They're trying to make up money, but also just from a competitive standpoint, when you look and see what these teams are having to go through, and you look at the strain, and just the unusual nature of this season, I think it's okay to have a gimmick and to allow more teams in. Because a team like the Braves are going to be ran to the ground. If you have a pitching staff that maybe isn't strong in the bullpen and you are just playing so many games in a row and your starters get fatigued or whatever, or vice versa, however it works with the pitching, you should be allowed a little bit of a margin for error here. I'm okay with that.
The Braves playing 20 games in a row is just wild to me because even though the Nationals were off last weekend for playing the Marlins, they still had scheduled off day on this past Monday and today. Even without the COVID thing, they were going to be off on last Monday and today.
Interesting.
So that just seems kind of unfair to me. But
yeah, I don't know what the quirk is. I don't know if it's going to be backloaded where they get days off. I don't know if that's going to be what happens here. I mean, I'd imagine they eventually get days off, so they're coming eventually. But yeah, that's they get 2 Thursdays off, so they get the 13th and the 20th off. I guess it's Thursday, and then they get a Monday off, so they're gonna get 3 off days in the next 3 weeks. They get Thursday, Thursday, Monday.
Okay,
so they'll be able to kind of catch up there. You never know, you don't ever really hear the term. Load management in baseball. It doesn't, that's always an NBA thing. I wonder if this season will stay that way with baseball or if that becomes a part of conversation whenever you start looking at fatigue. And, they play 162 games. We know that they play a lot of games and, players will take a stint to the DL for 10 days with a minor injury, or you'll get a Sunday game off every now and then. Or if you're doing the get out of town, if you're on the road, right, and you're doing the Thursday 12:30 game or the Thursday 2:00 game before you go to a different city, sometimes your stars will get a day off. But this year, I wonder if you'll just see more of hey, we've played 8 games in a row. We need a day off. There's no built-in break here. There's no easy way to take a day off. We just have to do it ourselves. the conversation that surrounds it in basketball is obviously different with the most guys only being in town one day type of thing, once a year. In a baseball series, theoretically, you know, even if you had fans, you had three chances to see them.
Yeah.
So the Stars play in two of them, like, you can't really complain. Just a different setup. Anything else about baseball? Yankees take their second loss of the year.
Yep.
Tiger with a bad par putt there. He sunk a long birdie putt, was two under, and then just rolled out, lipped out a par putt there as he drops back to one over, and Hayden shakes his head. Anything else from baseball, though, last night? Like I said, the Yankees lose their second game of the season.
Who did they lose to?
They lost to the Phillies.
Okay, so that's a makeup game, maybe?
Yeah, that's okay. A makeup game. They play a doubleheader. The Yankees won the second of the doubleheader, but they are 9-2. But they took their loss. The Cubs win again, sitting at 10-2. So you're having a couple of the big teams coming out early and trying to distance themselves a bit.
You see how the Dodgers game ended?
I did not.
With that, it was basically a throw out at home plate to win the game.
It's always
exciting. The tying run was coming in, and yeah, they threw him out at home plate. So that was a really cool sequence there.
That was against the Padres, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Padres got off to a pretty decent start too. That the wild card race will be fun. Like, baseball is going to find themselves with some really good races, I think, whenever you start opening up these extra spots. I think the shortened season, you can only get so much separation from everybody. You know what I mean? Like, the middle of the pack is going to be the middle of the pack, and it's not long enough to have anybody really lose distance, except like the Pirates. The Pirates are 2-10. They're in danger of like being eliminated already. They've lost 7 in a row.
Yeah, jeez.
But everyone else, like even the Mets, who are 5-8, I feel like can win a couple series here and there and be hovering around 500. The Pirates probably the only ones that are going to be completely out of it. Maybe the Diamondbacks. Maybe.
What's the Tigers' record right now?
Well, I'm just looking at the NL. Sorry.
Okay.
We were talking NL. The Tigers 5-5. Like, I don't know if they'll fall out of it. The Royals 3-10. Like, they're behind it early. Same as the Rangers. So, like, the AL might run away with it. There might just be like 7 or 8 teams that are just clearly better. I don't know. We'll see how that shakes out. There's not as much separation there as there is in the NL. Hour 1 in the books, hour 2 on deck. We'll kick it off with headlines. Let's talk sports. It's Fan Run Radio.